All right, before we hit this big button, we got a lot of stuff we got to go over today. We got to talk to the mayor of Tampa, Jane Castor.
Yes.
I have a question for Serrano, our afternoon guy. And then we got to talk to the police chief of Tampa.
Wow. Busy schedule.
Yeah, so we got a lot to go. Let's do it.
Your life has changed.
We want to be there for you.
Miguel, Holly, and Scotty are unscripted, uncouth, and still very mature. Now, daily.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored. Corncast Edition from Hot 101.5.
Made hot by Corona Beer.
It's Cinco de Mayo. Olay, Holly. Olay.
No, not allowed to say that.
Yeah, you can. I don't know, actually.
I don't know either. I feel like I'm probably not allowed to. But see, like, how do we celebrate Cinco de Mayo? As white folks, are we not even supposed to celebrate it? I don't know what to do. I shouldn't be wearing that sombrero, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, I think that's worse, actually, than saying olay.
Yeah.
Well, who am I to say I'm a white?
Yeah, you don't count. You're white.
I mean, who do we have here that could speak on it?
I mean, the only person that, you know, would be Serrano.
But he's Puerto Rican.
Yeah, he's
and
not.
That is not the same.
Yeah. No. I'm trying to think, is there anyone that we know of?
Anyone of Mexican descent?
I'm trying to think if there's anybody that I know. I'm curious if you are of Mexican descent. How do you feel about Cinco de Mayo? Because I will say, as a minority and as someone of the LGBTQ community, I appreciate when people try to take up for me and be an ally. But then there are times when people try to be too woke. And I'm like,
they're over woke.
Right. Where it's like, I got this. Like, and so it, listen, it's not an easy, what's the word? If for you as an ally, as a white person, it's not always easy because you're like, I want to help you.
Can someone just tell us what we should do?
Right.
Yeah, there needs to be a book.
No, I totally get it. And it's like, how do you navigate that? And it can be difficult at times.
Yeah.
But it's like situation by situation. But I mean, and this is why I always try to do a little gut check. So like when we do Cinco de Mayo and we're like, we got the sombrero, hola, hola, you know, like, what is acceptable? What is not?
I think hola is acceptable. It's simply hello in Spanish.
Right.
But then here, you know where, here, okay, and again, I'm white, so I could be wrong. But I feel like if you had on, like, a poncho and a fake mustache,
that's
offensive. The sombrero, I feel like, is kind of like a, we don't love it. But we're going to let you get away with it.
Right.
But no fake mustache.
Right. Yeah, because
no.
That's the appropriation part.
Correct.
Where you are making a caricature of a culture.
Right.
Yeah,
and that's where I always look to in terms of like cultural appropriation or whatnot. I look at, are you actually making fun of or taking for your benefit something from that culture?
Okay.
And I feel like, I don't know. I feel like sombreros are like, festive.
Please leave your message.
There we go. I was trying to call Serrano just to see if, because maybe he has people close to him that are of Mexican descent, mm-hmm. and they've had conversations about it.
I'm going to try to call him again.
But then again, like, how are you going to get one person who is a Mexican to say, well, how does everybody feel?
No, it's about how they feel.
Right.
No, like, I'm not saying they're not speaking for everybody.
Right.
I just want to know.
Because I feel like you're going to find, like with anything,
exactly.
You're going to find people that are offenses taken and then no.
I just know that when I hear, like, you know, white people on the radio or a podcast.
This is Dan.
Hi. Or is this Serrano?
Oh, I always, when I don't recognize the phone number, I have to answer like that just in case it's like some bill collector. I'm like, I don't know who you're looking for.
I was like, who the hell is Dan? I see your game.
I love it. He's like, let me tell you what. If this is Duke Energy calling, this is Dan.
Dan.
Sorry.
This is Dan. How can I help you today?
Oh, my God. You sound like my ex-husband.
I love it. Well, Serrano, he does afternoons here on Hot 101.5. You're on our podcast today. How are you?
Well, I was just actually having a video meeting with AR Smooth, who's our weekend guy. We're just chit-chatting about radio stuff, you know.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Our hotline. Wait, hold on. Hold on. Actually, this could get really interesting. I don't know who's on the phone. Our hotline is ringing. Oh, did you get Scott? Got it. Hold on. I was like, ooh, let's see who it is.
This is too much going on at once.
No, I'm on their podcast mood. Sorry.
Wait, who is it?
Oh.
Oh.
It's who?
It's Mayor Caster.
What?
Wow.
Oh, okay.
It's three-way.
All right. Hold on. Okay. Hey, Serrano, you be good. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for calling me. It was fun.
Okay. All right. We'll call you later. Bye.
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 Okay. Hold on.
You can continue talking to AR Smooth.
Wow. There's a lot going on. Is this Mayor Jane Caster?
Is this Miguel and Holly?
Yes, it is.
How are you?
Good, good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, you know.
Wonderful.
Just hanging out, celebrating.
Absolutely.
There you go. All right, as long as you're doing it 6 foot apart, you're okay.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Now, we are doing right now, we're recording our Uncensored podcast, which you are on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, obviously, this will be released here on Cinco de Mayo. And Mayor Caster, you wanted to speak on being safe and making sure that you...
Celebrating safely.
Exactly. Not going too hard on Cinco de Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's right. And we are trying to reopen our community very slowly and very thoughtfully. And so we need everyone to continue to abide by the rules. We're looking for 6 foot distance separation and facial coverings wherever that is possible. We're slowly reopening restaurants, but unfortunately on Cinco de Mayo, there are going to be no bars open.
You know, you can Cinco at home. I mean, that's what we're going to be doing. And I'm sure if you want to go out to your favorite Mexican place, you can find a seat that's outdoors, 6 feet apart. So there's a way to do it safely.
That's right. There's a way to do it safely. But we have to ensure that it is done safely so that, you know, it's not one step forward and two steps back. We have to make sure that we continue to progress. And the only way we're going to be able to do that to get back to business as usual is by taking this slowly and abiding by all the rules.
Now, when it comes to that, when it comes to getting back to things as normal, how are we navigating these waters? So I have a group of friends that everybody's been working from home. I'm the only person that still comes to the office. And there's about three different couples, and everyone's outside of going to the grocery store or maybe bike riding outside, but being socially distant. Are we at that moment where we can sort of be quarantined with like a circle of friends? So now I can go over to this couple's friend's house because I know that they've been safe, I'm being safe, and now we're doing it together.
Yeah. Yes, and you know it's still we're looking for that no groups larger than 10, but just what you described, Miguel, is perfectly fine. So you know, slowly easing back in to business as usual, because if we have an outbreak, one of the main dangers with this virus is the ease of transmission and the fact that it is just so highly contagious and in a lot of instances silent. So you may not know you have it. And so when someone contracts it, we just have to make sure that it's not spread widely so that it's hard for us to get our arms around it once again.
Absolutely. Now, can you sort of, now that we have a little bit more time on the podcast, I'm so curious, for you as a politician and as the protector of us and making sure that we're safe, you have such heavy decisions on your shoulders, because I see Twitter sometimes and people are just, and I will say this for you, people are trash sometimes with their comments. And
comment section is the worst.
They are. Well, they're not productive. They're not productive conversation pieces. And so I can't imagine what that must be like when you, as a leader, with all the facts of both sides of a situation, when you have people that are like, I want to get back to work, we're hungry, it doesn't matter, I want to go back to work and do what I want to do. And then you have people that are like, well, we need to stay shut down, we need to keep ourselves protected and safe.
And everybody thinks they're right.
Right. What is that like for you on a human side, having to wade through all of those decisions and voices?
Well, to be completely transparent, I pay no attention because it's not beneficial for me, and I probably have the benefit of having spent 31 years in law enforcement, where there is a lot of anger and frustration exhibited at you as a law enforcement officer, and you just can't take that personally. You just have to make the right decision for the right reason and ensure that the decisions you make are in the best interest of the citizens. And I have to, as the mayor of our city, I have to look out first and foremost for the health and well-being of our community. And then secondly, a very close second, is our economic health. And so I kind of liken this to making decisions with 10% of the information and 100% of the responsibility. But, that's where it's at. And I just try to do the right thing for the community, and I don't pay attention to any of the comments, good or bad. You know, I'm just trying to get as much information as possible and make the best decision for our community as a whole.
Wow. Well, that's I can't imagine what that must be like, because there are times when I look at things that you tweet and I can't help but not.
That's the thing, because I was going to say, you know, you don't take it personally, or you don't even bother, or you don't look. I think that's the difference between media people over here on this side and politicians / law enforcement / the people that are, you know, there in the city to just do the job. Because I can't, like Miguel, I'm going to look.
Right.
And you say, okay, I'm not going to take this personally. But then it gets inside your head like a little seed, and you're like, they're so dumb or whatever, you know. And it's got to be tough to have trained yourself to not bother with those things.
Right. And the 31 years in law enforcement, your skin becomes a little thick. Someone asked me, a reporter one time asked me if a negative comment from an opponent had how that weighed on me. And I said, look, I've been shot at, so bring it on. You know, those kind of comments, I just let them roll off. But I have to share with you, I made a very quick little fun video with one of my sons, and there was some really negative. He brought him in and showed me, and there were some negative comments about, you know, you're too close to each other and some other things. And my gosh, I spent the rest of the evening sort of talking him off the ledge. I'm like, it's okay, buddy. Don't worry about it.
Right.
That's tough.
He was a little sensitive.
Yeah. Well, you want to protect your parent. You know what I mean? You want to protect those people that you feel like you have to be the defender. So I totally get that.
And I think that is so wonderful about you, and not to just like keep laying on the praise, but we forget your previous experience as a police chief when you're like, I've been shot at.
I feel like that's the great neutralizer. Right. You're like, what?
So when you're like, when you come over here as a keyboard warrior and you think you're going to make my day bad.
Sit down.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Maybe you need to think about that a little bit more.
Absolutely. Put it into perspective.
Yes.
Real quick, before we let you
go. I wouldn't advise being shot at.
No.
Probably other ways.
No. I don't want to really be shot. I just want to visualize, like, you know, there are people that are being shot at. So these keyboard warriors that have a hot take, they can calm down.
Seriously. So how... When we come to looking towards the future in like the summer or the fall, what is sort of like your personal recommendation for making any plans as people start to get back to work and they're like, all right, I lost my job or I was furloughed. Now I'm slowly getting back to work. I want to take a little vacation. I want to go somewhere. Are there any recommendations yet on how to handle that as we start going towards the summer and the fall?
Well, the only advice that I would give or predictions that I might make is, just don't look to those large public gatherings to be coming back, to a theater near you very soon. You know, that we're not going to be looking at large public gatherings. But I just finished a briefing with Joe Lupano out at the airport. And, you know, they're opening back up, and the traffic through the airport is increasing daily, but they're still taking those precautions. If you're going to fly somewhere, just about every airline has a requirement for facial covering. for their employees and for the passengers as well. And so make those plans, but do it thoughtfully. Think about the steps that you can take, even, you know, if you're going someplace for a long weekend or making a week's vacation, that you can still take those steps that will prevent you from contracting this virus or spreading it.
Right. And that's one of the big keys and the takeaways that I feel like people forget when you're wearing a mask out in public. It's not to protect yourself. It's to protect the other people when you are breathing and coughing and you're out in public and you could be harming someone else and not even know it.
Right.
That's why we wear the mask. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Mayor Castor, for taking the time to chat with us. It's always a pleasure.
Same here. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Miguel and Holly.
And we also have to give you and send you off with a hip-hop air horn. There we go.
Yeah. Always. Yes.
Well, have a happy Cinco de Mayo.
Make my day.
Absolutely.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Girl, she been shot at.
That's crazy.
She said, I've been shot at. Call me names. Go ahead.
What you got?
Go ahead.
I mean, can you imagine the nerves of steel on our mayor when you have literally probably chased down drug dealers, you know, faced death. And when you look during a campaign, a mayoral campaign at your opponent and they're trying to like, they've probably been a businessman their entire life and they're trying to like, boo, 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 and you're like, bitch, sit down.
Don't try.
Sit down. Oh, my goodness.
Like, remember that Key and Peele sketch back in the day where it was like Obama and then like the real Obama?
Yeah, I was just telling a person about that because it's been long enough now that I feel like people don't know about it. Like, they may have forgotten or never saw it.
Yeah.
It's Obama and his anger translator, Luther.
Oh, yes.
It's the best. It's one of the best Key and Peele sketches ever because it's like Jordan Peele is Obama, and he plays a good Obama. And he's over there and he's like, well, we've come to talk to our allies, and he does his little thing. And then Luther's like, bitch, sit down, fool. I said sit down. And it's just so relevant. And it was one of my favorite sketches. I mean, I loved Key and Peele anyway because they had amazing, like just recently when the NFL draft was taking place, I recalled the East-West College Bowl when they had all those crazy names.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Whereas like fudge, like they had just had crazy names. I don't remember all of them, but it was they're good. I was so mad they're not on the air anymore.
All right, I think I found.
Did you find the anger translator?
Yeah, I have Obama and Luther's farewell address.
Oh man, I don't know if I ever saw the farewell address.
Here we go.
Like, we're just going to watch shows on the podcast.
Yes.
It's fine.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. You remember my anger translator, Luther.
Why, hello.
Now, I've told Luther that he can join me for this last address, but that his being on his very best behavior is crucial to healing the divide in this country.
Keep it chill, Luther. Go against every natural instinct in your body.
Since we last spoke, the country has voted for a new president.
He's just staring.
They both are just staring.
Trump!
Here we go.
Oh, no.
Oh, man, come on, really? It's talking about the Trump! How did this happen, man? Get the fuck out. Y'all gonna vote for the dude that's gonna make America hate again? Don't you understand? This is how the Hunger Games starts.
It's true. We all have to accept that we're gonna have someone else calling the shots.
Vladimir Putin, y'all. We got a naked Ruski on horseback gonna be running the show. Placebo, Russian motherfuckers.
It's a close election, but the people have spoken.
Yeah. They voted for Hillary Clinton, but then this outdated electoral college mumbo-jumbo voodoo bullshit.
It's more imperative than ever that we move on as a country united.
United in the fact that we can't fucking stand each other.
Even as the country adopts new policies on trade, immigration.
New policy! The only good immigrant is a smoking hot white one.
Who plagiarizes speeches.
Ooh. I said, bitch.
I have greatly enjoyed
that's a really good sketch.
my time as your president.
Except when, let me think, when the Republicans wouldn't let me do shit, and then that one dude said I wasn't born here, and then y'all elected him, so you know what? Didn't love that part so much. So pretty much the beginning, middle, and the end sucked.
I have met with President-elect Trump and have pledged my support in his transition.
He doesn't even want the job, y'all. I saw it in his eyes. The dude was shook. The only reason he ran is because his factory in China made too many red hats. It's the only reason!
I assure you that if he succeeds, we all succeed.
Unless he succeeds with all the shit he promised to succeed with, in that case, we're fucked.
And now, a time-cherished tradition is that the outgoing...
Don't say outgoing! La-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-
office. Of course, it's completely confidential.
Go fuck yourself.
So now, oh, that's my man. To all of you out there who are afraid that your way of life is under attack, remember that progress isn't always a straight line.
No, because sometimes it's a line that goes like this. It goes, and then this goes straight down for 4 fucking years.
Stay strong and never stop standing up for what you believe in.
Yes, I would like to book a 4-year stay for 5 at the Ice Hotel in Sweden, please.
Sorry, 5?
For Bo. I mean, y'all were going to take Bo. Make it 6.
In summation, thanks, America. It's been real. It's been good. But it ain't been real good.
Oh. Apparently, orange is the new black. Good luck with your healthcare, assholes. I'm out.
Peace.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you picked a very controversial one. I was like, oh, shit.
Ooh, that one's getting in there. Listen, that's Key and Peele.
And I love the little throwback to one of the first Key and Peele sketches I ever saw was the one where he was like, you know, sometimes you call your woman bitch. That is so good. Anyway, just do yourself a favor and go check out Key and Peele.
Scott, can you try to get Serrano back on the phone real quick see?
We have been all over the damn place today.
I know this.
I'm just going to call this podcast, this is a train wreck.
This is everything.
With Mayor Cass.
And we also are going to be speaking to the chief of police for the city of Tampa, Brian Dugan as well.
And we just played that Key and Peele sketch.
Yeah, I know. We're going to have...
Okay, that's fine.
Listen, you get a little bit of everything when you listen to us, okay?
Your daily dose of everything.
This is not CNN. We are not Anderson Cooper. Which, by the way, he's a new daddy.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
And I love that. I saw the little video of him announcing it, and I was like, good for Anderson Cooper.
Yeah.
Like, get him a little baby.
I'm excited for him. It seems like he's been working at it for a while.
Yeah, I'm not going to be doing that.
Oh. No, just, you shouldn't.
No.
I've already decided you shouldn't.
Yeah. Why?
Because you too crazy now.
Why, Holly?
You could have done it back in the day, but, like, now you... Nope, you can't do it. You went crazy.
Maybe it'll give me some solace in my life. Is this Serrano?
Yes.
Serrano!
Hey, que lo que hay? What's going on?
Hello.
Sorry about that whole... Well,
sorry.
You know, we had the mayor on the phone.
We had to bump you for
when
the mayor.
When the mayor calls, you hang up on the afternoon DJ, damn it.
So what we're calling you about, Serrano, like, we know that you are Puerto Rican, correct?
Allegedly, yeah. Yeah, I am, actually.
Allegedly.
Yeah, I was born in Tampa, but my family's from Dorado and Tabaja, so yeah.
Oh.
So here's what we're trying to understand. If maybe you have some friends that are Mexican, we're curious about the people that you've come into contact with and how they feel about Cinco de Mayo. Do they feel like it's inappropriate, it's appropriating their culture, or they just like...
Do we not say ole?
Right.
Do we not... I was like, okay, listen, we already know no one is wearing a fake mustache and a poncho. That's
right.
Too much. But like a sombrero, is that cool? As a white person, I just don't want to, like, you know, be shamed.
Inappropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a great question that comes up. And actually, my wife is Mexican and Chilean. So... This is a big question. You know, when I was like, I write a lot of the promos that air on Hot, and one of them was the Cinco de Mayo a promo that I'm hosting. And I asked her a few things. I said, you know, what do Mexicans think about Cinco de Mayo? She's like, it's, you know, it's not a holiday. It's not. It's more like St. Patrick's Day for Americans, but in the Mexican version. They don't celebrate it. They're not offended by it because there is some culture background to it, because there was a war that was fought against the French army back right. in the 1800s, but they don't care about that stuff. I mean, they just see it as another way to get lit, just like St. Patty's Day. They're not offended by anything. They're more, I think they're more proud. Like, it's a way to feel proud about it. Because everyone wants to be Mexican all of a sudden, unless you have to go pick strawberries, and nobody wants to be Mexican then.
Oh, okay. That's valid.
White, do you see, the white people were like, we're not really sure.
We only want to indulge in the fun stuff.
Yes, we don't want to get down to those tough issues.
Food. It's all about the food.
Right. Mm. That's true.
Yes.
Well, because I'm always just so curious about that, because I know as a black man, you know, there are certain things that I'm like, listen, I'm glad for white people to, as long as they acknowledge that that's coming from black culture and give credit to where it's due, because for so long, black people would create something and then white person would take it and then repurpose it and be like, look what I did, and not give credit to the black people. And so as long as there's credit being given, I think that's the big point. Would you say?
And I also think in addition to that, it's that you're not using it in a malicious manner. Like, you know, you're not doing something that's making fun of an elder culture or something like that. Right?
Yeah. I think it goes too far whenever you get a guy on TV. It's like, no, let's say some white guy, he gets on TV, dresses up as a Mexican, and then he's doing commercials for a said Mexican brand. Like, Odelay, guys, come get some beer from Mexican brand beer. I think that's when it becomes offensive. But no one's ever doing that, obviously.
No, it's
never going to get that far. But for example, what about St. Patrick's Day? Like, you hold commercials of people with their Irish accents. I really wonder if they get offended by that. You know, especially if it's horrible.
Not anymore. I feel like because America has come, and you know what? It wasn't a full American issue. And as your resident Irish person, let me speak on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the North, especially in like New York, Boston, Chicago, Cleveland, some of those big cities up in the Northeast Quadrant, in that area, Irish people had it really bad. They were the minority group for a long time in people coming over from Ellis Island. You know what I'm saying? So they were always made fun of. They were the butt of every joke. They were like looked at as second class citizens and dirty. And it was that way for Irish people. So it wasn't all of America, because the Irish immigrants didn't make it all the way everywhere. They had that little like ethnic area. So in the North, when you told somebody you were Irish, they were like, ugh, gross. And it was very similar back in like probably the 1800s, mm-hmm. when a lot of those immigrants came through. But down here, and keep in mind, so down here there was never like anything that was, you know, malicious necessarily, I'm guessing, about Irish people. But I think it started out where you had to get past that hump of, okay, Irish people are just like anybody else. It's
right.
It's the same type of thing, but it was a cultural thing instead of necessarily a racial thing. And now that sort of, you know, has gone past and it wasn't full out all over America, I think it's the same thing as Cinco de Mayo for the Mexicans, where it's like the Irish people are like, hey, I'm just glad y'all remember we exist. We do drink a lot.
Right.
Now, that is true. We do drink a lot. But there's more to it. But I think that on that day, people are just excited to have a reason to celebrate the heritage.
Absolutely. And the food. I mean, a lot of people always are talking about the alcohol, let's get drunk. But a lot of it has to do with food, you know, food, because that's what my family's doing. You know, we're going to get the Tijuana Flats party pack. We're going to hear, we're going to eat tacos. Not because it's just Taco Tuesday and not because it's Cinco de Mayo, because we're a Hispanic household and that's what we do anyway. But we are going to, you know, make some fajitas that day because it's Cinco de Mayo, you know, just in the spirit of it, just because it's fun, you know.
Yeah, well, you're right, because we did. I mean, I had a crock pot full of corned beef and cabbage because we don't get it all the time. But that's like the Irish roots that you're like, oh, finally we get to enjoy this on St. Patrick's Day. So, yeah, I totally get where you're coming from there.
It's really interesting. Yes, get that tequila, girl. It's really interesting because in the North, there are, because being from the South, it's always like white versus black.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main headline of the conversation when you talk about race issues. But like when I've gone to Buffalo with my boyfriend, and it's so fascinating, like where his parents live, where he still has a house there that he owns, and how like that's a certain, and I don't want to get it wrong, so I'm not going to try to say, but it's like one ethnicity here and then there's another ethnicity there.
Yeah.
And then like he told me back like when his parents were growing up, like you didn't, because I think his mom is, her family descends from Poland. Mm-hmm. So she's a, they call Polak.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't. That was worse, too. Like, I had a bad blend because I'm Irish, Italian, and Polish.
Oh.
The Polish people were all dumb Polacks.
Yep, yep.
They were a bunch of dumb Poles over there. So you were just making fun of them for being dumb,
mm-hmm.
making fun of the Irish people for being dirty and grimy and, you know, building everything. And then all the Italian people were in the mob. And so it was like all these Whoa. Ethnicities had these little pockets with different stereotypes and ways to segregate against each other.
Yeah, and so it's fascinating that him explaining to me how Buffalo, because he his house is in South Buffalo, and like what that ethnicity was made up of. So it's fascinating to me as a Southerner, mm-hmm. because here it's just like, well, growing up, it's more diverse now. But growing up, it was like the blacks are here, the whites are there, and
right.
that's it.
There, and that's what's interesting to me. I feel like I'm totally bowling over Danny right now. Sorry to do that to you. But
no,
like,
it's okay.
What I find interesting is when I moved to the South, there isn't a lot of different ethnicities all mixed in. It
no.
really is just white and black. And mm-hmm. so to when I was coming up in the North, we don't even say coming up. We say when I was growing up. I've learned a lot of lingo. But like there, it's always about, well, what are you?
Mm.
And it's nobody asks me down here
no.
now that I
no.
think about it. Because no. it's like black people did live up North.
Right.
Really, there weren't very many Hispanic people, though. Didn't have a lot of Hispanic people, didn't have a lot of Asian people.
And by the way, to clarify, you from Cleveland.
I'm from Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
So we had black people, we had, but then it depends, and then you have white people, but you have, what white person are you?
Mm.
Are you Italian? Are you Polish? Are you Greek? Are you Irish? What little subdivision do you belong to? Because that's how I'm going to judge you. So maybe that's why they don't have as, like, they do have racism, white and black in the North. I'm not going to say they don't. But maybe it's, like, more widely split because of the hate amongst all the different kinds of white people. People are like, both be white. But I'm like, oh, you Irish? Blah, nope.
But then you realize, though, and you can probably attest to this, Danny, that it's like even within like probably your Puerto Rican culture with black culture, there's then hate among in the black culture how dark or light skinned you are. Mm. Do you all have that in your Puerto Rican culture?
Oh, my God. Yes.
Wow.
You know, it's funny, you know, like around in Florida or even in Texas, the Americans, they might, like, they kind of shun, they look down on immigrants in a sense, just kind of like how Holly was talking about how the Irish up North are really pooped on. Well, the Mexicans and any other, like the Guatemalans and Dominicans, they're really hated on by other legal American Hispanics, like the Puerto Ricans, their culture. Because, first of all, when you live in Puerto Rico, there is no border, obviously. It's an island. So you got Dominicans and other, you know, other islands that are close by that will go across that Caribbean Sea and to get to Puerto Rico and then somehow get to America because it's a better life. So a lot of times that's who's fighting for the jobs in Puerto Rico are the illegals. So it's just like here, but they're not Mexicans over there. They're Dominicans.
Mm.
And of course, like just like Miguel said, the skin color, it goes a long way in an island that's so close-minded, unfortunately, because, you know, they're stuck in their ways. You know, the Puerto Rican island it's riddled with drugs and disease at some parts. And in other parts, it's beautifully and it's nice and there's no bars on the windows. Guess who lives in those houses? You know, the lighter skinned folks, you know, the ones that have the good jobs in San Juan and the capital city of the island, you know. So, I don't experience the racism. My stepfather raised me and his skin is black. I mean, black as Miguel's skin. So the only time I experienced racism with him is we would go to the store and people would think that he was not Hispanic. They think he's black. So Spanish, other white, light-skinned Spanish people would be like, "Este moreno no sabe que," which basically uses the N-word in Spanish.
Like, oh,
no,
really?
And this N-word doesn't know how to wait in line. He thinks he can get out of line. And then my dad, he claps right back in Spanish.
Oh,
hey,
wow.
yo soy español. Yo soy español. And their minds and their minds are just blown. But you know, it's been a while since that happened, but it has happened me growing up. Believe it or not, the most racism that I have ever experienced was in Buffalo.
Oh, really?
Oh, I mean, it wasn't towards me, but You know, I went there for a birthday of mine. I hate the cold, but I wanted something different.
Oh.
So I wanted to go where my brother-in-law is from Buffalo. He's from Lancaster, just a little bit outside of Buffalo. And he explained the same thing Abe explained,
mm-hmm.
that this city is broken down by ethnicity. You have the Polish here. You have the Puerto Ricans here. You have the African-Americans here and so on and so on. And that's how it is. And so when I'm in the basement of this house, you got his uncles, my brother-in-law's uncles, that are Polish. There's N-bombing left and right.
Oh.
And spick this. And I'm like, hello?
Wow. You're like, hey, hi, Puerto Rican here.
Just hanging out.
What you talking about?
Wow.
Wow.
And it's really hard for me to get defensive, you know, in a basement. And, you know, they apologize. But believe it or not, they're just so ignorant and just they don't know any better. They're just in their own little bubble, and that's all they know. And they don't leave Buffalo and their neighborhood of Buffalo for nothing.
Right. That's right. You stay in your little circle and that's all you have.
And you know what's sad about all of this is that it's always someone wanting to have more power over someone else.
They want to be the leader.
And this just goes to show you that if you are feeling like, or if someone is trying to make you feel less than, take a look at why they're doing that.
Look at the motive always.
Right. Because literally, just because you have one shade of skin tone does not make you more intelligent or less intelligent, make you better or less better than anyone else. It all comes down to what you do,
you
do with your life
inside.
And who you are. Exactly. And so I think that's the biggest takeaway from all of this. And it's something that took me a long time to learn, is that you put those cages on yourself. If you let people do that to you, you don't have to do that to yourself.
I'm going to bust out my Eleanor Roosevelt quote again.
Oh, please.
Nobody can make you feel inferior without your consent.
Amen to that.
And for that, that's why I'm wearing my sombrero today as a Cinco de Mayo party.
Yes! Well, Serrano, thank you so much for coming on. And I know you got to get ready. And we have not, literally, I have not seen your face in like 2 months. And it makes me sad.
I know. I'm going to come by your window, your apartment, or your townhouse today. Hope you're ready for that.
Oh, please do. I hope you have on something real nice.
Wow.
I'm going to tap on it. I'm going to tap on that window like there's a red light special behind it.
Ooh. But what are you tapping my window with?
All right. No.
Sorry. No. We got to talk to the police chief. Sorry.
Oh, my God.
Okay. All right. Serrano, thank you so much. And you can listen to him Monday through Friday, 3 to 7, right here on Hot 101.5. All right. Thank you, Serrano. Have a happy Cinco de Mayo.
Thank you, guys. Y'all take care.
You too. Bye. All right. Woof.
That's a heavy podcast.
We literally can go from here to there to this.
I mean, I think it's a cool thing, but I don't know how many people are like, just stick to one topic.
I am curious. Leave us an open mic on the Hot 101.5 app.
Let us know.
Because, I mean, this is why I love the podcast. Because on our show, we have to be so focused topic per topic.
Oh, yeah. There's no deviating there.
No.
And if we do deviate, please believe that audio will be played in a boss's office somewhere with them looking at us expectantly. And then we have to be like, sorry, I did that.
We got excited in that moment and brought up something else, but we won't get excited anymore, I promise.
Yeah.
You can leave us an open mic on the Hot 101.5 app and let us know, do you like sort of going back and forth and stuff, or do you just like us to just stick to one thing? Also,
fuck you if you said you want to stick to
one thing. Oh, Holly, that's not.
Just kidding.
Listen, I'm trying to like clean up the next couple of seconds before we have the police chief on, so it doesn't seem as naughty.
Okay.
So before we have him on real quick to talk about Cinco de Mayo, some of you in the Miguel and Holly fam have left some reviews on the podcast.
Oh, good.
Okay.
On Apple Podcasts. So please rate, subscribe, and review. This is from Roxy K 1199. Miguel, Holly, and Scotty are the absolute best. This is not your usual morning show or your normal podcast. These guys get real and share so much of themselves while making you crack up at the same time. They're helping me get through this pandemic alone and feel like real friends. Can't recommend enough. Platypus hearts.
Platypus.
Aww.
Thank you so much for that, Roxy K. All right, let's talk to the police chief of the city of Tampa. And then after that, we'll be done. Today is Cinco de Mayo, and we want to make sure that you are celebrating responsibly. And so what better person to help us learn how to celebrate responsibly than the police chief for the city of Tampa, Brian Dugan, is on the phone with us.
Yeah!
Welcome. Now,
hello, everyone. How are you?
Wonderful. And I feel like people are trying to be even more wonderful because we've been stuck in the house and trying to social distance and do all the right things.
Cabin fever got you feeling itchy.
Yes. Yeah. So what are you saying we should do to make sure that we don't act a fool on Cinco de Mayo?
Well, you know, as tempting as it is to act a fool, I mean, that's when we have the most fun. But, you know, I think the big thing is people need to remember that it's all about social distancing. You know, wear a mask when appropriate. It's going to be hard to have your margarita with a mask on, but you know, do it when it's appropriate and just practice the social distancing. You know, the concern is the more people drink, the less they may want to practice the social distancing, especially if there's an attractive person on the other end. But they need to be able to control that and have some fun. And I think we're going to get through this. But that's the big thing, is keeping the social distancing in line.
I think this is a good time to remind everyone that, you know what, you should probably be social distancing if you see an attractive person anyway. Like, keep your hands to yourself.
True.
So maybe this is a good time to put into practice. Stay away from the bubble.
Well, wait, hold on. Actually, I think that this is a really good discussion. Chief Dugan or Chief Brian?
What Chief do you know? Dugan.
Chief Dugan?
You can just call me Brian, whatever.
Okay. Listen, I love titles, okay? So we want to make sure that we give you due justice here. So what I'm curious about is, because yes, I mean, realistically, if someone is single, if they've been doing what they need to do, they have been at home, they have been social distancing, working from home, and if maybe they're going to a restaurant in Tampa, they're sitting outside with a friend, and they're doing the things they need to do, when is it okay to actually talk to someone new if you're single and you want to get back out on the dating scene? How do you navigate those waters?
Well, you're gonna have to do it from 6 feet away, and you know, if things go the right way, you may need more than just a mask, and you may end up getting more than just the Rona if you're not careful.
Oh! Shots fired from the chief of police.
I love it. Listen, you speak in truth, though. Mm-hmm. You speak in truth. That's amazing. Now, how are you celebrating Cinco de Mayo? Are you able to? Are you working and making sure everybody's doing what they need to do?
Yeah, unfortunately, I'll be at work. I won't be celebrating. You know, it's a big day for us. I think, like you had said earlier, you know, everybody's got a bit of a cabin fever. It's a beautiful time of year down here in Tampa with, you know, clear skies. We just want everybody to remember it's about having fun but being careful at the same time. And you know, I'll be out there. We'll have many cops out there, and I think we just need to look out for each other and have a good time and stay safe.
Absolutely. And how have things been? I mean, it's only been a day since the sort of stay-at-home orders have started to lift in Tampa. How did yesterday go? Were people abiding by the rules?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, what happens is we usually have to remind them of the rules, and then when we do, they move on their way.
Has it been burdensome for some of the officers to have to sort of patrol the social distancing when they are out patrolling and making sure that people are doing what they need to do?
You know, what's difficult about it is when someone sees a group of people that aren't practicing social distancing, and then the cops show up and the people are gone. You know, it's kind of like trying to catch up to a speeding car. You know, the car is gone by the time you get there.
Right.
So, you know, it's that tedious stuff. And, you know, you have the people who probably aren't taking it serious enough. And then you have another group of people that are probably taking it too serious and that are a little overzealous and thinking that everybody should be doing things a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So interesting. The new sort of reality that we're living in right now that we are having to adjust to.
Yeah.
And that it takes conscious thought to be able to do it, because we're living in this new reality and as things start to open back up. Do you all have any sense yet of when we'll get to do barbershops, nail salons or massages or anything like that? Do we know yet, or is it just sort of a wait and see?
Yeah, it's a wait and see. We don't really have any info as to when the governor plans on doing that. I know he's been consulting with the medical community and taking a deliberate approach to the whole thing.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to inform us and to give us even some dating tips.
Yes.
Stay away.
Yes.
Okay?
We ain't got time. You can get to know someone from 6 feet away. How you doing? How you doing? That's fine.
I love it.
It's going to be interesting to see who was truly social distancing, or whether they just really didn't like us. So we're going to find out when it starts to go away.
Yikes.
That is so true. Thank you. We've got the chief of police for the city of Tampa, Brian Dugan. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. And happy Cinco de Mayo.
Thank you.
Catch up on previous episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored now on the Hot 101.5 app or on iTunes on your smartphone.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored, Quarantine Edition from Hot 101.5, made hot by Corona Beer.